Welcome on board the Dale Princess. With crew and vessel, it allows us to carry 50 passengers. We have light 7 equipment on board, 450. The boat fare then to Scone Island for adults over 16 is £10, and for children up to 16 is £7.
Today I'm heading across to Scomer Island, the famous island off the coast of Pembrokeshire, which is featured in Springwatch and The One Show and many other programmes because of the wonderful bird life that is on the island. And that's probably what it's most famous for. But actually today, as we cross the swirling, rippling waves of Jack Sound, we're actually going to look at a very different species. We're looking at the mammal, the seal, and we're going to be looking at the seal pups that are actually born at this time of year. So we're in September, so the pups are born fairly late on in the year, and we're going to meet up with Dave Boyle, who's the researcher who looks into the populations and numbers of seal that are born on the island each year. Okay, so we're stood out looking across to the neck here, aren't we, Dave? And what are we actually seeing here? It's quite a dramatic rock fall, isn't it? Onto the North Haven beach.
It is, yes. There's quite a bit of rocks come down there.
Yeah. Yep. And how's that going to affect the seals then?
I mean, as the tide is now, so like mid-tide, it's probably reduced the area of beach available for seals to haul out by a third.
Gosh.
So like, yeah, I mean the biggest haul out's at low tide anyway. There's a couple of kestrels getting very noisy up there. So yeah, I mean, yeah, they're not going to haul out on that, all those jagged rocks. As far as I know, there were no seals under it when it came down. Mm. There is a seal pup, and it's probably under us here, so there's a little cave at this end. But yeah, there's quite a lot of fulmar chicks probably went down with that as well. You can still like see there's a few chicks still on the cliff there.
Yes, because I mean, this is a really, this is a sheltered area, I suppose, isn't it, this cove, and I suppose a natural area for the seals to come and have their young.
Yeah, they tend to use this beach a bit later on, more in the autumn, when the Dale Princess isn't coming every day and stuff, and there's just less people around generally.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is actually one of the most important beaches on the island for pups.
Very dramatic. So what we're looking down onto now is a very sheltered cove, isn't it, with a stony beach, and we can see...
So you can see the cow on the left there.
Yeah.
So you can't see it, but she's got a pup in that cave
tucked
there.
Away, yeah.
And that bull...
Right.
Is basically keeping an eye on the cow, stopping any other bulls getting near
her.
So she's actually, I don't know if you can see, she's got a big round scar on like her left flank, and she's actually she's actually blind in her left eye as well.
Okay.
You can see with binoculars, you can see her like left eye's not really there. But she's been around since 2003, that cow.
Yeah.
I don't think she's pupped every year, but she's certainly pupped every year since 2007.
So she's received something quite a bad injury from something.
Yeah, not too sure what, but yeah, I mean, there's actually quite a lot of cows that are blind, or at least blind in one eye. There is one that's blind in both eyes. it hauls out in Castle Bay, and you know, you just hear the pup calling them.
Yeah, I did.
And yeah, this blind one, she always, when she like moves down the beach, she always has another cow in front of her, and she like keeps her nose on the cow's flippers.
Amazing.
And as they travel down, she just follows it. And then one time, the cow in front got away from her, and she just came charging down the beach, went straight into a rock.
Oh, bless her. Oh. But that's amazing that she's surviving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they can obviously feed her. I guess they use their whiskers and stuff.
Yeah. Amazing.
But that bull, he's been around since 2007, that bull.
Right.
The first couple of years, he just hung around off the bottom of the steps, and then he gradually worked his way into the little landing beach around there. And I guess now he's getting bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
He's actually moved onto the main beach now.
So he's establishing his territory, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, he's only got one. She's not sure how old that pup is. Pup's probably about 12 days old or so. So she's going to be ready to mate within a couple of days or so.
Okay, so she'll be having a second pup.
Next year.
Oh, I see. So the gestation period is quite long then.
They actually delay the implantation of the sperm for like 3 months.
Right.
So the cows come back, have the pups.
Yeah.
The bulls come in, compete for beaches, compete for cows, And then once the cows stop suckling, then they're ready to mate again.
Okay.
But they delay the implantation for 3 months, and then it's like a 9-month gestation period. So they pup again roughly the same sort of time next year. It's quite often within some cows it's like within a day or two they have the pups exactly. Right. And then other ones, I mean, they seem to get earlier gradually, sort of like a week earlier a year, some of them.
As they get older.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I wonder why that is, maybe easier or something. But it seems really counterintuitive that they have their pups at this time of year as we're going into the stormier seasons. And
I don't really know why that is. It might be the cows don't feed while they've got the pups, so presumably they have to feed up quite well beforehand.
Mm.
So maybe it's a better time of year for them.
Available.
Exactly.
Price, to build up the reserves.
Yeah. So I mean, like, you'll see the cows when they first come ashore. I mean, when they first have pups, they're just full of milk,
yeah.
And they're like just massive, and like the pups are real skinny. And then just over the next couple of weeks, the big pups just balloon, and the cows just get really skinny.
And then will they spend most of their time over the winter sort of on the beach, near the beach?
The ones that pup seem to disappear quite quickly.
Right.
Some of them come back, but yeah, they seem to, like, once they've mated, they seem to pretty much go. I mean, some do come back again, like a month later or so.
Mm.
But yeah, no one's here over the winter, so no one's entirely sure what happens over the winter. But the biggest haul-outs of adults, I mean, the haul-outs are building up into November.
Right.
So, I mean, there could be more in like December and January. You don't really know that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's probably just waiting to lose a bit of weight.
Very sexist. My goodness. Size zero happens in the animal world as well, doesn't it? Terrible. So, Dave, tell me a little bit about the sort of work that you do on the island, then. What sort of, with the seals?
So, the seals is mainly monitoring pup survival, going around the beaches every day looking for pups. If there's several pups on the same beach, you go down and mark the pups so you can follow them. So you just follow them through until they molt, and once they start molting, you can assume that they survived. Well, they survived up till then anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been doing a lot of photo ID of mainly the breeding cows and the territorial bulls. Which I've sort of created a bit of a rod off my own back, because I've gone from it being quite a nice simple little job to
a massive
I mean, I must be spending maybe not so much now, but later on when there's more animals around, I'm spending a couple of hours a night on the computer, so like trying to match up cows and stuff, but it's I mean, probably the most interesting thing is the number of pups that are on the island are pretty constant every year. It's about 150, 160 or so. But since 2008, we've had, I wouldn't be 100% certain about my figure here, but it's something like 450 different cows.
Right.
The Skoma seal population is a lot bigger. No, you're just not getting many cows coming back.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
So they're pup for a year. So they have a pup for it. So everyone goes on about how site faithful they are, and they're not at all. They pup, and then she pups every year. Other ones might have a pup and then you never see it again. We had one cow that pupped actually just down here in, I think it was 2009, and then in 2010 she was photographed pupping in Cornwall.
Wow. Quite a distance that she's moving.
Yeah.
So that's really interesting. The photo ID work probably is going to contribute significantly to that sort of.
Yeah, so I mean, when I started trying to photograph all the cows, I just assumed give it a year or two and you'd have your population.
Compliment.
Yeah. No. Every year it's about a third of them are returning and about two thirds of them are new cows.
And I guess that really shows how important this kind of research is, really, because it demonstrates actually the way that we assume mammals and seabirds and everything actually behave, and how we've kind of thought they've behaved over the last however long is quite different. They are moving. They're a lot more mobile than we think they are, and
yeah,
they do
yeah.
shift.
Yep. Yep.
So I'm looking at the bull now through your binoculars, and I can see he's got some fairly significant scars on his back. I presume are those territorial disputes probably that have caused that? Hard to say.
Probably not. I mean, he's got that little scar on his like left shoulder. Mm. I mean, that's how I recognise him.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't actually see him fighting very much. I mean, they're not like, I mean, like you see on like David Attenborough programmes, elephant seals like slamming into each other and blood pouring everywhere. Never seen anything like that. Most of it's just like one, I mean, like a territorial bull will be there, another bull will come up on the beach, and that one will go over to him, and they just sort of like glare at them and hiss at them.
Posturing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, 9 times out of 10, the other one would leave. The fighting you do see, it's normally in the water, and it's more just splashing.
Slapping.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the necks sort of get raked up a bit. There's a bull actually over in Driftwood Bay who's got a really obviously like roughed up neck.
Yeah.
But I think most of the scars they get are probably from boat propellers.
Right.
And also from getting caught in fishing netting.
Yeah. Yeah, so kind of mankind made rather than...
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, you obviously get... Well, presumably you get like some natural scarring from like being bashed on rocks and stuff, but I think that's probably the exception rather than the norm. There's one, there's a cow that Jane took a photo of in 2004, who's actually like, got a massive, great big lump of green fishing net. And like, I mean, you just think as soon as it dived, it would get caught up, but she comes back every autumn.
And it's still embedded in.
Still with like, it's training like a big, like almost like another seal sized lump of fishing net.
That's insane.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it survived, well, it survived at least 8 years like that, so. I think probably the danger is like when, I mean, there's quite a few sort of like little 1-2 year old seals which have like got monofilament netting around the necks.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, I don't think there's the room for them to grow anymore. Mm, so,
Yep. Dave, all the research that you do, I mean, you're scribbling down notes at the moment, and you're obviously taking photo IDs and you're counting. And so where does that all that research actually go to?
That all goes into report for CCW. So it's CCW fund the seal work.
Yeah. So that's Countryside Council for Wales, who basically then take the research on and compare it to other stuff that's going on in Wales?
I think it's comparing like what's going on this year with like previous years. So I mean it's been going on since the project as it is now has been going on like this since the early 80s. So like from the early 80s we've got accurate figures of numbers of pups born, pups surviving.
Right.
So I think they just want an accurate sort of figure of what's going on with seals. I mean, Ramsey's got a lot more pups, but it's hard to get a really accurate figure about what's going on. And like somewhere with less pups, it doesn't really tell you so much. So here we've got a reasonable number of pups born, and we can quite easily check on them all pretty much daily, get a really accurate figure. So there's still, I mean, obviously there's calls still for controlling seal numbers.
Right.
So unless you really know what your seal populations are doing, you don't really know what effects that's going to have.
Okay. So by who's having calling for the
fishermen still. Mm. Fishermen don't like things that eat fish, apart from people. So yeah. I mean, there's going to be. So unless you really know what's going on, I mean, like finding out that there's a lot more cows popping here, that's maybe a bad thing for.
Perception of the
for perception.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah, there's loads more seals than we thought there was.
Yeah. And what do the seals predominantly feed on around here then?
The most recent diet studies have found that they're mainly eating sand eels. They're not sort of necessarily so much taking commercial fish. Yeah. I wonder if in the past when there was like more bigger fish, I presume they were probably eating more bigger fish. They'd have to eat a hell of a lot of sand eels to get much of a meal out of them, especially one of those big bulls. But I mean you do have problems. I mean, some learn to sort of take fish out of nets, and then also sort of like if you've got like fish farms and stuff, but
temptation is too great.
I mean, it's like putting a bird table out in your garden and complaining about
the
things
birds
coming down and
eating
them.
Yes.
But yeah, you can get licenses if you've got a fish farm or something, you've got seals coming down, you can get a license to shoot the seals there.
Are they a protected species?
They are, yeah. Yeah.
And actually, I should have asked this earlier, but what kind of seals are we looking at the moment?
These are Atlantic grey seals. Okay. Yep. So I mean, they're main. Britain's sort of like the centre of the sort of population. So I think you've got these ones around here. It's like a southwest Britain one. So you've got Wales, Southeast Ireland, and sort of Devon, Cornwall. I think they're actually sort of a little bit genetically distinct from sort of like ones around sort of Northern Scotland and stuff.
Okay. So whilst they're moving around their selected area.
Yeah,
not
there probably isn't a huge sort of turnover with like sort of seals on the east coast.
Right. So I should explain that Skomer Island, I mean the actual name is from Skalmer, isn't it, the Norse, and that means neck in the Norse. And so we're walking out over what is the neck onto the sort of isthmus, the other bit of the island where the public are not allowed. It's largely researchers who come across here. So below us we're...
So if we sort of kneel down we'll be...
Lovely, let's get out of the wind. So we've got...
So there should be three pups, I can only see two at the moment.
Yeah, and they're both marked, aren't they?
Yep, and yeah.
We've got so three females?
Yep, so that's three females there. See the one on the left there, if you look with binoculars, you can see she's got like a massive sort of scar on her left hip.
You can see it there, the binoculars, actually, yeah. That looks like...
So that's got to be a propeller or something, isn't it? Yep.
That's very distinct. So you've got sort of three, four lines quite badly, quite deep.
Looks like a sort of big claw sort of scrapes, or unless there's something out there with big claws.
Yes!
We don't
unless
know
about. Unless a bear seal.
So that's her pup's the one behind the rock bear. The which is just, you can see it starting to molt. So like it's losing the white sort of fur on its head and flippers.
Yeah. And then the other pup has just tucked itself behind the other rock, isn't it?
So there's that cow out there is the mum of the one. The cow in the water is the mum of that pup that's just coming up the beach now. She pupped in 2008, I think, but hadn't seen her again until this year. There's the bull.
Oh, I was going to say, where's the bull?
Yep, he's just out there keeping an eye on everything. So you can see how roughed up his neck is.
Yes.
So he's been around since 2007 as well, that bull.
It's interesting, he's got a fantastic spot here, hasn't he?
It's very
easy to defend. Yep. You've got some nice rocks in the inlet. Yep.
So the ones at this time of year, the bulls, they can have bigger territories than the ones later. So he could even be like keeping an eye on the cow at the far side of South Haven Beach there.
Oh, okay.
But then later on, when more bulls come around, I mean, he'd just have to be going backwards and forwards fighting other bulls off there.
Yeah.
So their territories actually get smaller.
Easier to defend.
Exactly, yeah.
No sign of that third pup.
It's probably just underneath us.
Yeah.
But that one with the big scar.
Yeah,
she's new. Never seen her before.
She's very distinct.
Yeah,
isn't she?
Yeah. You wouldn't miss that one.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that wound looks like it's been there for a while because the scar tissue looks like it's quite healed.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess the salt water is probably quite good for the scar.
Yeah.
Shag. Yep.
Oh, they're quite strange birds, aren't they? They're so agile in the water. Actually, it's fantastic.
Yep.
And that beak is just the head.
They're very sort of reptilian or something, aren't they? Very snake-like.
Yeah, snake-like, definitely. How long do seals live for, do you know?
Probably 20s or so is like normal. There has been a cow, I think it was in Shetland, that reached the 40s, but that seems to be like exceptional.
Pretty long life
then. Yeah, and cows probably older than bulls as well. Bulls have more stress, I suppose.
Mm. That's like men and women.
Exactly.
Isn't it? Yeah. Actually, there is a genetic predisposition for women to live longer.
Yeah.
They've discovered, haven't they? So I wonder if it's the same in bulls. In the seal world. And so we've got another.
Probably another bull.
So he might be unmated, right? Or if maybe in that.
Yeah. So he could be like waiting to take over one of the beaches,
right?
Or he could even be like, just, you seem to get some bulls which like never get a beach, but they're always around, so they could be like intercepting cows as they're coming to and from the beaches.
Yeah. It's fairly brutal business, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So great. Next stop, Castle Bay.
Yeah. It's a great view of the island.
So this is Castle Bay.
This is a really dramatic bay, actually, isn't it? It's fantastic. And sort of interesting rock structure going on.
Oh, it's two pups.
Ah, yes.
Oh, that's not good.
Oh, what's going on there?
That little pup.
Yeah.
Should be Matthew's whip.
Oh.
And to the way it's hanging around with the pup.
Yes.
It looks like it's trying to suckle on the pup.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's not good.
And there's the female coming in.
Yeah, that's the mum of the big pup. So yeah, so that pup's two days old. His mum might be here, but I suspect she isn't.
And the older seal pup sounds like it's getting quite vocal about trying to be suckled.
Yep. Yeah, and mum's coming over. Yeah. Yeah, so she's just seeing off the little pup there.
That's not good, is it? I don't see any sign of a female. What's that at the top of the beach? Is that another pup?
That's a dead pup.
That is a dead pup.
I mean, that could... As far as I know, that's not a Skoma pup. I mean, that could have washed in from anywhere, really. There has been a couple of... there's been this one dead pup in Matthew's Whip, but that seems too intact to be that one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if they're... above the tide line, sort of count them as Skoma pups. There is another cow that's been hanging around in here who looked like she should have pupped, but I hadn't seen a pup with her yet, so I mean it could potentially be from her.
Yeah.
To see her today and she's obviously not pregnant anymore, then maybe assume that was her pup.
So that was mum making quite a lot of
noise. Yeah, so yeah, she's just trying to get rid of that pup. So yeah, sometimes, I mean, like, that one's, it probably fed yesterday. Certainly its mum was around yesterday. But they can last a hell of a long time. Like maybe a week or so without feeding. And they just gradually get thinner and thinner. And then they're normally, like, really noisy for a couple of days. And then they just go quiet and just, like, curl up in the back of the beach. And then the ravens come down.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a little bit of me that just hopes his mum finds him. But where is Matthew's?
It's the next bay over.
Right.
So, I mean, it could happen.
Yeah.
I have seen, like, abandoned pups, which you think are going to die.
Mm.
And then another cow maybe come and, like, have a stillborn pup and they'll adopt it.
Yeah.
You do see cows sort of suckling more than one pup.
Yeah.
I mean, she seems pretty onto it. I don't think she's going to...
Yes, she's not interested, is she? She's quite clear in her intention.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's definitely not... Mm. It's not doomed just yet.
But it's not good.
No, you wouldn't want to be that pup.
No.
So I wrote yesterday for about that pup. Went off swimming, wouldn't be surprised, don't see it again.
Well, you did see it again.
Yeah,
just
but
in a
not in the right place.
Yeah. What are the daisy-like flowers?
Sea mayweed.
Sea mayweed.
Not sea mayweed.
Scarlet pimpernel.
Which is all out, so it's obviously going to be a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's not a huge amount of flowers on Skoma. I think the rabbits have seen to that.
Yeah. Yes, it's quite a contrast, isn't it, to the springtime when you get all the bluebells and the thrift. And
yeah, I think, well, I mean, things like thrift... you just see like the odd flower. I mean, that's just the rabbits just hammer it. I mean, there's plenty of clumps there, but there's, I mean, literally like a good bit of thrift has got like one or two little flowers on it on here. So yeah, I mean, the flowers you do see are just the ones the rabbits don't eat really. Because again, I mean, when the rabbits sort of all died off with Mixie, the number of flowers that came in up was amazing. Okay. Yeah. So this that cow in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
Been around every year since 2007.
Yeah.
You can't really see it at the moment, but on her left flipper, she's only got like two claws, right. Like two big long claws.
So she's lost it in some sort of accident. So we've got, how many cows in here then?
There's the mum of the big pup.
Yeah.
Yeah, that dead pup doesn't look particularly fresh. So there's the bull. Just going to see the cow. See all that splashing, the bull's getting close to the
frisky
cow, and she's not ready for him yet.
Yeah.
So she's saying, go away, please.
So I suppose with the data that we're producing, like with the bird populations, it's sort of really showing what's going on in our seas. And with SCOMA bird populations, they're actually reasonably stable and healthy, aren't they?
Yeah.
Unlike many of the islands. And with the seals, I guess it's probably harder to tell, but are they an indicator as well? Do they indicate sort of the health of the seas around us?
Oh, they will be, yeah, definitely. I mean, you probably need a fair bit of fish to keep the seal going. So, I mean, the fact that they seem to be doing okay, suggests that they're finding something to eat.
Yeah. And if they're eating, you said the sand eels?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're feeding on the same thing as the puffins,
exactly,
for example.
Yep, yep.
And that is where the population crashes of sand eels has been quite dramatic, hasn't it, in sort of more northerly and easterly areas.
But I'm sure seals will be able to turn. I guess they'll just eat whatever's the most abundant.
They're not so reliant on population or something.
I'm sure if there was like big shoals of mackerel around, they'd be eating mackerel instead of sand eels.
I can't blame them, really, actually.
Definitely eating mackerel and sand eels, to be honest.
Far nicer.
Yeah. So yeah, we've got a fellow got a photograph of one eating an octopus off here in the spring. Yep.
That's fantastic photo, isn't it?
They'll be eating octopuses, crabs, fish, anything they can get a hand on, really. So this cow that's been hanging around, who is pregnant, there's like a little bit of a cave goes up there.
Yeah.
And she pupped in there 3 years ago, I think it was.
Right.
And it wasn't until the pup was a few days old that actually it swam out of there and went to the beach.
So she may well have pupped.
And she's not around, so I wonder if maybe that dead pup is potentially her pup.
Yeah.
But yeah, I won't know that
until
for a while.
Well, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, there'll be a bit of an assumption, but there's a dead pup on the beach.
Yeah.
Which at the moment hasn't been counted for anything.
So with all of these, the island is very crenellated, isn't it? There's a lot of little inlets and bays. So would most of the bays have seals in?
Yeah, the ones that have a beach. There's a little bay, there's a little inlet just there.
Yeah.
As far as I know, nothing's ever pupped in there. I've certainly never seen anything pup in there. The next one round, Matthew's Wick. That's probably the most important beach on the island.
Right.
And then one over, there's Amy's Reach. And that has like half a dozen pups a year. That's probably it for the south side of the neck here.
Yeah.
Pretty much every beach on the island
will have
a pup. Yep. See all the rock samphire on the cliffs.
Oh, lovely. Yes. So that's what that is. So it's quite hairy, isn't it? It's
Yeah, you can see there's nice sort of green patches of little sort of like yellowy green flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I got you. So tucked right up into the rock faces.
And there's on this little spit here, there's a bit of tree mallow.
Oh, so like a marshmallow, but
that's the plant they've had problems with in like the east coast of Scotland. We've taken over islands with puffins,
right,
and then just like completely sort of swamping the islands.
Okay.
It's native in the west,
so it's managing itself more.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be able to like handle any sort of rabbit browsing. It's only on the cliffs here, so if there was a lot of it, it's not causing problems for the puffins.
It's interesting, isn't it, that you can have invasive species within Britain.
Actually Middleholm, you can see all the high bits on Middleholm.
Yeah.
That's tree mallow.
Okay.
So there's no rabbits on Middleholm.
No, right, okay. Oh, this is a wonderfully sheltered spot here at the moment, isn't it?
So it's been
most pleasant.
Quite a bit of time here. Sort of like, you get quite a lot of seals hauling out on here as well.
Right.
And not so much at the moment, but later on in the year there'll be a lot of seals hauling out. I spend quite a lot of time. For the ID stuff, you want the seals to be wet, really.
Okay.
So you just sit here and
that
wait
shows that the marks better.
Yes, yeah. Once they've dried out, they just go all, well, fluffy. Maybe exaggerating a little bit.
Become less distinct.
Yeah.
And so the Dale Princess is coming back to pick me up off the island and take me back over to the mainland, leaving Dave to do his important work on the seal survey work. And it's always a sad thing to leave the island, but I'll be back, I'm sure. Probably with the podcasting kit again.